You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here at 1150 AM, KKNW, the Saturday, February 18th show. I provide the news on everything money, fresh information, market trends, and our local economy and what's happening. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can talk with the guests that I have in studio or chat with your host, that would be me, if by calling into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, Greg Nunn with Gregory Nunn and Company, discussion on income taxes. Greg, for regular listeners, they know you're my personal CPA, but also you do a lot of work for my buyers, and I just appreciate the wealth of information that you provide. And today we're just going to continue our conversation around taxes, so thanks for coming back in.
Well, thank you for having me. If I may, can I put in a shameless plug for John?
Of course you can.
Good. Us CPAs are very thankful for that King County website, because most people go, I don't remember what I paid in property taxes. Or they go to sell their house and go, I don't remember what I paid for my house. So by going to King County's excellent website, we can get that information. It helps us a lot.
That is awesome. Thanks, Greg. And yes, it is amazing what they're doing over there with the information and the web. So a little bit about Greg. Gregory Nunn is founder and principal at Nunn Better Tax Resolution in Redmond, Washington, the firm of tax resolution specialists in Washington State. His passion is helping people that find themselves in a predicament with the IRS due to failing to file tax returns and or not paying the IRS and claim that they owe. He represents these troubled taxpayers vigorously before the IRS. His practice also provides tax preparation, tax planning for individuals and businesses. Gregory is a licensed CPA in the state of Washington and been in the industry for over 30 years. He is a member of American Society of Tax Problem Solvers, the premier association of professionals helping troubled taxpayers. He has received the Top Practitioner Award for the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers. He is also a certified tax resolution specialist and has published a book, Solve Your Tax Problems. I do want to give a shout out as well. He doesn't just help troubled taxpayers, because I'm not a troubled taxpayer. He helps them all. But if you're in trouble or not, Greg is your guy. So Greg is a professional tax advisor. What is the most common questions that you get?
The most common questions are, I don't like paying this much in tax. How can I get my taxes down? Which is probably...
I'm sure, Dave, my husband's asked you that.
Yeah, you know, everybody asked me that question, and I wish I had the magic potion for that.
Well, you've saved us a lot of money over the years, Craig.
I understand.
You've got some magic going on.
Some people think I have a magic wand, and I do have one. It's plastic, and sometimes I'll just hand it to them and say, okay, why don't you wave it? But anyway, most of the time it's around how do we get our taxes down?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very valid question, which is, of course, one of the objectives that we have in my practice when mm-hmm. we're preparing someone's tax return. Is to, you know, get those taxes down as low as we can within the parameters of the law.
Of course. Mm-hmm. We'd always want to stay within the parameters of the law. So let's talk about tax part. What can they do to save on their taxes?
Well, the real simple area is that it impacts probably the most people are the itemized deductions.
Yes.
And that's one area where there are some things that we'll talk about that mm-hmm. I think a person can do to help gain as much deduction as possible. And so we'll hit some of those areas, like we'll talk about charitable contributions and property taxes are nicely deductible.
See, you didn't even know John was going to be here.
I did not. Uh-huh. It was wonderful, as well as mortgage interest. So those are some great areas, and sales tax. And we'll talk about some little tidbits that might make those deductions better for you.
So these itemized taxes that we talked about, I mean, so I've heard you say before, I just had you online for my Family Finance and Future online meetup that I'm doing specifically for my clients. Mm-hmm. And the difference between, I mean, people have made some big financial mistake in filing when they've itemized versus not. And talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the itemized deductions, let me back up one step.
Okay.
Everyone gets a standard deduction of some sort, depending upon if you're filing single or married or head of household. And oftentimes, though, the itemized deductions create a much better deduction for that tax, for that taxpayer. The thing is, yes, it takes some effort to get that information together. Mm-hmm. So you got to ask yourself the question, well, if I really truly want to save taxes, am I willing to put in the effort to do it?
Got it. And it's important too that you look at, if you are looking at the difference between standard versus itemized, that if you're doing a comparison, that you understand you are missing that amount that you're going to get. And a good example would be when we're talking about interest credit, if you're doing a comparison between rent and home ownership,
right?
You really, if you were standard and now you've got this great ability to be able to have to itemize because you've got your interest and your property taxes, we're going to talk about, you have to really take off the amount that you would have gotten if you'd filed the standard, correct?
You do. To make it a
true comparison.
You do.
So I think people forget about that.
Yeah, the tax benefit of owning real estate is the best tax deduction.
Yeah,
truly,
let's just hope that doesn't go away. That's another conversation as well, because there's a lot of scary conversation going on about that. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that in, but we're not going to talk about it. Okay.
Thanks.
So you're welcome. You mentioned charitable contributions. Talk about this and how that works.
I am. And charitable contributions are often something that we're all doing. But sometimes we can't take them as a deduction because we don't have enough itemized deductions. Mm-hmm. And that's where the mortgage interest and property taxes come in. Because ordinarily when a person has those, they're going to be able to itemize their deductions and then they'll be able to deduct their charitable contributions.
Mm-hmm.
It is still one of the best itemized deductions. And you have cash contributions and you have non-cash contributions. The non-cash ones, I'm sorry to say, the IRS has just come out a few years ago with all kinds of strict regulations on how you can deduct non-cash contributions.
Okay.
Got to have a lot more documentation and support than you did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But still, all of us are giving away stuff out of our house probably every year that we're not taking advantage of in the deduction.
Yeah. And it was really interesting, again, going back to the online meetup, because I always learn something new when I talk with you. And I'm not a lot in my own personal taxes, as you know, because I have my husband take care of that. But I have a community outreach that I do every Monday. I'm doing something with the homeless that was money. And it was interesting to hear about the, you know, getting documentation and a letter written. This is new this year, Greg. So that's why I haven't talked about it before.
Okay.
But you've got those limits and those brackets to where part of that documentation is getting something from the charitable organization. So we've got to make sure that Dave had those in line for us this year. So home interest deduction, let's talk and go into that a little bit deeper.
Okay. One last item I did not mention on the charitable contributions. As an example, if you're a volunteer for, you know, scouts in some form or another, and you go out of pocket because you're, you know, sponsoring something at your house, or you're driving scouts to a camp out or whatever, or you're having to buy special uniforms for that, that's part of your charitable contribution. So keep track of that as well.
Okay, great
as
advice.
Okay. Now, mortgage interest, where are we at now?
Yeah, mortgage interest.
Let's break that down. Home mortgage interest deduction is an excellent itemized deduction.
Love it.
I know.
Not only because I'm in the mortgage industry, but because I'm a homeowner as well.
That's correct. And of course, your principal residence, you can deduct your home mortgage interest. Mm-hmm. And some people think, well, can I deduct mortgage interest on other properties?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there are some properties where you can deduct the interest period, even though it may not be mortgage interest, interestingly enough. The key thing is it's called your second home.
Yep.
And it could be real estate. It could be a boat.
RV.
It could be an RV. I don't think it could be a motorcycle, but because you have
to... it doesn't meet those minimum requirements.
You got three minimum requirements.
I mean, this would be interesting on a motorcycle.
You
got to
have cooking facilities, bathroom facilities, and sleeping facilities. So I don't know if you can squeeze all of that into a motorcycle or not, unless you got that one of those little tiny sidecars. But primarily, we're talking boats and RVs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And on going back to the primary residence with the interest deduction, I think a lot of people don't know that you actually are writing your interest off based on the last tax bracket that you earned. So that's really cool, because if you have $1 that pushes you into that higher tax bracket, that is the tax bracket that you're able to use to write off your property taxes and your interest, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So let's talk about property taxes.
Property taxes, especially in the King County area, can be a very, very large deduction.
He's looking over at John.
But, I mean, that's part of the privilege of owning real estate and supporting our community.
Yes.
So with that, you get those deductions, the property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not only on your principal residence, but on any real property that you're paying property taxes on. So you might have, you know, the cabin, maybe you have another timeshare or something like that. So you can do the tax deduction for the property taxes on all of those items.
Yeah.
So that's a good deal. Or you might just have a piece of raw real estate that you own that's investment property, collecting no rent or anything like that, but you can deduct the taxes on that too.
So talking about mortgage, we talked about the interest, obviously, well, maybe not obvious to everybody. You can't write off principal, just interest. We can write off property taxes. You cannot write off your homeowner's insurance or homeowner's association dues or mortgage insurance.
Mortgage insurance, this 2016 will be the last year for that.
Yeah, unless
it gets extended. But don't count on it.
Yeah, okay.
My opinion.
So what about some of the options for sales tax deduction and how can you optimize that?
Sales tax deduction. We can deduct in the state of Washington. This is really our special deduction because most other states have an income tax. And in those states, you can deduct that income tax. Mm-hmm. The way it works now is whatever is higher, your sales tax or your income tax in the state that you reside, can be the amount that you write off. And so here in Washington, well, it's the sales tax. There's a table that is mostly used to determine what that amount is based upon your income, the size of your household. However, you can deduct the actual sales tax that you pay. And by, you know, most of us, it's probably a much higher number.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, the hassle is, you mean I got to save every little receipt and every little thing that I spent on for the entire year? That can get kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea for some of my clients is to estimate. Pick a month.
Okay.
Obviously not December because you probably have more spending in that month than any other. But pick a month where you can use it as an average and track everything for that month.
Interesting.
And
that's okay?
And then, because you can use it as an estimate.
Okay.
Check with your tax advisor to see if they're willing to do that for you.
Disclosure.
And so you can take that month and then multiply it by 12, and then you have it for the entire year.
Got it.
And then if you do, by any chance, come under audit, you can say, well, Mr. Auditor, here's what I did. Mm-hmm. I took a sample of 1 month. And more likely than not, they will accept it.
Got it. Okay. So thoughts that you have on any upcoming tax changes, good or bad?
Yes, there will be changes.
I'm sure there will be. What are they, Greg? I know we don't have all the time to go through all of them, but what are the big ones?
Here's my editorial comment on tax changes. Every time you hear about, okay, the next administration is going to make tax changes. We're going to make things simpler and easier. And that I've never seen truly happen ever, ever, ever. It always gets more complicated in some form or another. And I would anticipate this being the same thing because there's always these little special carve-outs that are going to occur because it's a political decision, political and social decision, actually. And so don't anticipate something coming across the board that's just going to be so simple and so idyllic that you reached nirvana. It's not going to happen. This is my opinion. The best way to simplify the tax code, quit messing with it. Leave it alone.
But, I agree with that. Like you said, that's not going to happen.
That's never going to happen. Come on, we're talking politicians.
So just, you know, hire a great CPA.
You do.
Pay a little bit to make sure that you're taken care of, and it pays itself all the time. So, Greg, and also, I want to touch base before we wrap up my time with you. Identity theft. I mean, identity theft is big out there, but taxpayer identity theft. That's really big, right?
Taxpayer identity theft is huge.
Yeah. So what do we need to do?
And the defense, be on the defense. Be very, very careful in any kind of mail you receive, any kind of phone call that you might get, especially in a phone call. If they are getting aggressive and nearly abusive, that is not the IRS calling you, I assure you. Do not give them any of your information. Another one, be very, very careful with your email.
Okay.
The good old phishing emails are out there, and we tax preparers, sadly enough, we get them all the time. And so we got to be very, very cautious to make sure that we don't click on that unfortunate little link that now is going to infest your computer with all kinds of crap, garbage, excuse me.
great advice, Greg.
And sometimes it's so unfortunate. With taxpayer identity theft, you don't even know it happened until you file your tax return.
Scary.
And it gets rejected. And you go, well, what happened?
Yeah.
And there are ways to monitor that. In fact, for some of our clients, we have a little program where we monitor that for them. So if there is a hint of identity theft, we can let them know.
Awesome. Greg, thank you so much for everything that you do for
my family
and for my clients, and just appreciate your time and the wealth of information that you share.
It's always great to be here, and I hope that it's been some help for some people.
Definitely. Thanks, Greg.
Okay.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, recession-proofing your retirement. Dennis Yamasaki with Affirmative Financial Services right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.